Hello, I'm Kevin Barcinas, and welcome to Men Don't Cry, where we observe the tattoos of a male-dominated world, a show where inklings of masculinity are skin deep. Today, we have Fernando Plasencia.
Wow, you got my last name right.
And Willie Cortez.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. Welcome. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. It's Monday. Good. I need more coffee.
True. Ooh. Who doesn't?
Right? College student. College student life right there. You need more coffee in your classes.
I need less coffee, actually, for how much college I'm doing. More. Yeah. So Fernando and Willie are both 19 years old, and they're in the hometown of the Los Angeles area. And Fernando is an ASL and photography major. You want to be an interpreter?
Yeah, an interpreter and a photographer. So when I'm not interpreting, like, the weekends, I have a photography business on the side. Because it's something I could never give was photography. I tried doing film, didn't work out. My heart was just still in photography. It's like, okay. And then I picked up sign language, and I got that really good. So I was like, okay, I'm going
to
do both.
Do you want to do, like, portrait photography, like modeling? Or
what? I just do whatever. Like, I'm pretty much freelance for every type of photography there is. But I also do want to have the business to have more deaf clients come in because I will know how to speak their language.
Oh, that's cool. And Willie is a psychology major?
Yes. I still don't know what type of psychology I want to do, like, because there's so many fields out there that are really interesting to me, and right now I'm still learning a lot about psychology, so I'm still...
Do you want to go down the teaching path, or more so the path of, like...
The path of, like, going... Psychologist, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And so we always start our show with a little myth-busting section, and we have a special edition for you guys, the couples version. Right. If you're up for the task. So you'll just...
bring it on.
Yeah, and then I'll alternate with, like, whoever goes first with the answers, and then, yeah. So are you guys ready for our 5 myths to bust? All right. And it's up to you if you want to bust them, unless you also believe in them. But
shoot.
I doubt you would, right?
Let's go.
Okay,
for it.
So for our first myth, marriage is a tradition for a man and woman. Willie, go ahead and answer first.
I feel like it is not, because there's many types of marriages that there is out there, and there's, like, different religions, different types of aspects of marriage. Some people consider, like, marriage like a bond between two people, or, like, it's just different between cultures, so you can't really say marriage is only for a man and woman.
Yeah, like King Solomon, right, had 600 wives.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And 300 concubines. I don't know. What about you, Fernando?
Really is right as well, but then also a lot of people say that you have to get married by the church. It's not true. You don't have to get married by the church. You can easily get married by the court. It saves you a lot of money, a lot of time. But a lot of people feel that you have to get married by the church, otherwise it does not count as a marriage. Like, in the Mexican culture, you have to get married by the court.
Oh, wow.
That's what I've been told, that my mom's cousin had a first husband, but that she married him through the court, and it wasn't, like, official that they got married, so she doesn't count that as her first husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, we're just trying to do our taxes. Come on. And for our second myth, if you want to answer first, Fernando, gay couples cannot raise children together.
That is a lie, because you're bringing a child into a house that's showing them on how to love unconditionally, no matter what your skin tone, your religion, or your culture behind you is. And you bringing up the children in a same-sex relationship, or two people the same sex, raising a child would be just showing that child love no matter what, because there's no discrimination.
And you, Willie?
I believe the same thing. I also think that most people think, the people that don't support, like, same-sex couples having children, I think they think, like, the children are going to miss out on a different parent figure if they have both. But I think it's not true, because, like you said, all you have to do is give them unconditional love. And that's all that matters. And I forgot what I was going to say.
And you're not showing them discrimination either. You're not showing them how to discriminate. They won't know how, because you're showing them love.
Yeah, and there's, like, not everybody grows up with a father figure or mother figure.
Single moms.
And they turn out fine. The children are fine. They turn out, like, to be
Shout out
fighters.
To my mother.
Yeah. On the side note.
For raising me on her own. Yeah, and, like, don't they even say that for same-sex couples to have children, they have to want it, because it wouldn't be an accident. Like, you have to go to the adoption papers and all that stuff, or surrogacy or whatever. Mm-hmm.
But I want kids. I want three boys. Either one of my own, two adopted, or two adopted, or two of my own, one adopted, whichever.
Would you want kids?
I don't know yet. That's a for me, I don't think it's like it's a hard topic. Like even yesterday my brother told me, you're gay, so like what would you like kids? And I was like, I don't know yet because I'm not in that time of thinking right now. I'm thinking about the present, which is like studying, getting done with college, and like enjoying just life to right pay now. These bills. Yes, I'm not trying to think about children right now because let's slow it down.
I guess the thing is for me is that I have a 4-year-old niece going on 5, so like I've been there all her life and raising her, yeah. Helping my sister raise her with my mom. So it takes a village to raise a kid. So I guess that's why I want kids, because I've had my niece for so long with me.
And you already know how to change diapers, so.
Let's not get too crazy. I don't know how to do that. That's the one thing I don't know. So you get
the pull-ups. Pull them up, pull them down.
I smell something here. You take her. You pass on to my sister.
Okay, so for our third myth, HIV is God's punishment for homosexuality. Willie, what do you think about that?
I think HIV didn't start with homosexuals. HIV started like in Africa because I think it was passed down by apes to people.
Yeah,
because
so butchers.
There were butchering, mm-hmm. So it wasn't really homosexuals that started spreading.
It was just eating blood.
Yeah, or like the spread of blood to other people. And it was just a disease that happened to get created somehow.
I actually just read that too about someone saying that. It was some, I think she was a nun saying that about people that end up with HIV, that it's God's discipline for having sex. It's like, okay. But who knows?
Right, and straight people get it too, right?
Yeah. So and anyone can get it. I'm pretty sure that's...
Needles, whatever else. for our fourth myth, gay men are not relationship-oriented. Fernando.
They are. They're stubborn and they're hard to date sometimes. That is true.
Okay.
Is that some shade?
No, I'm just saying it's like without trial and error, we wouldn't have success. And you have to go through a lot of trials with dating to finally have success in a relationship.
Some people get the first try right.
Must be nice.
Yeah. What about you, Willie?
Wait, what was the myth again? I'm not like...
Gay men are not relationship oriented.
Well, if that was a myth, I don't think there would be like gay you men too? and like relationships and like getting married and having children. So I think it pretty much explains.
Just like a Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yeah.
For our fifth myth, this one's an interesting one. I'm not sure if you mentioned that you were bisexual or gay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. But this one's an interesting myth. And I don't know if you guys have anything to speak about this, but bisexuality is not real. That person is just being selfish. Willie.
Go ahead.
It's not... I feel like it's also part of the LGBT spectrum. Like, there's people who are bisexual, and, like, I've known people who are bisexual, and, like, they've told me how they feel about certain people. Like, I just understand, like, if you love someone, you love someone. It's like, it's love. Just embrace the person.
And Fernando?
I've always been told that. It's like, people that are bisexual is not true. They're either gay or they're not. It's like, I have a choice to either date a woman or a man. It's not like something you can just wake up one day, oh, I'm bisexual. No, it's a feeling that comes from within. It's the same thing as being gay or lesbian or trans. It's a feeling that comes from within your heart. You can't just wake up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm this and that. Like, no, you have to build up to it.
True. Okay, well, that wraps it up for our myths. Thank you for participating in that. And just to get started in our show, I wanted to ask you guys a really risque question and, like, what your opinion on that would be.
Ooh.
Do people ever ask you, so who's the man and the woman in the relationship?
I've never gotten
that. I've been asked
actually,
that.
Actually, my brother asked that question, and I was like, we're both guys, so I'm pretty sure there's no woman involved in the relationship.
Right, Fernando?
I've been asked that a couple of times. One of my family members asked me that. And sometimes it depends on who's working, who's bringing in the money, or who's the more masked one. That's what I've been told from my neighbor where I lived before. He was gay, and that's what he had explained to me before I had come out, that there will be that choice. Not the choice, there will be that comment that you will get, who's the mask, who's the man and who's the woman.
And how do you answer that?
You just go with it and be like, well, I don't know. You just lie and be like, I don't know, because then it becomes something bigger that it's not. when you're trying to answer that. It's like, that's not the point to answer that question.
Yeah. Some people say that they're just trying to, like, figure out who's the top and the bottom, too. Like, yeah, as if those true. Are that associated true, with yeah, dominance and submission true. Roles. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that?
I think sex position doesn't correlate with your personality. If you're masculine or feminine, because there's, like, all types of people that, I don't know. It's
well, that's what I wanted to get into. Are there any stereotypes that you hate when, like, people presume about you?
Yeah, when people think I'm straight, it's like, no.
And why would they assume that?
Because I'm not gay enough, as I've been told, that I was not as girly as some of the other gays that were in my high school, or I don't walk as girly and I don't complain or wear makeup and sass like they do. It's like, just because I don't mean I'm not gay. I am, and you can't tell.
I also get, like, asked, like, are you sure you're gay? Like, I'm pretty sure I know I'm gay.
That's something really hard.
The reason why they ask me that is because sometimes it's, like, I embrace part of my femininity because I know I'm gay, so, like, there's, like, parts of me that's feminine, but at the same time, it's, like, I also embrace my masculine side, so it's, like, I'm, like, balancing both out, but sometimes I don't show my femininity as much. So I think the concept of people nowadays is, like, you have to be feminine in order to be gay, but I don't think that's the case.
That's something really hard to say. This two-worded sentence is something that usually takes people years, lifetimes to say. It's sometimes really hard to admit, I'm gay. That's the two-worded sentence is really hard to say because that two-word can really change your life. It can either have a positive effect or a negative, or sometimes an in-between. You can either say, you will say, yeah, I'm gay, and get the bad part of it of, you know, discrimination and judgment, and then you get the good part where it's like so many people support you, and then also the bad where they walk out of your life for it.
That's where I feel like it's so ingrained in our society when, like, somebody will say, like, oh, I'm gay, but I'm not into the scene.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's coming from a place of hurt because, like, people have assumed so much and, like, put those on to people that they have to feel like they have to explain themselves because they already feel like people are going to barrage them with, like, questions that don't even relate to them just because of these stereotypes that they hear.
True. Yeah.
On a lighter note, I wanted to ask how you guys met.
It was the school's library.
Yeah, we here met at really Pierce. Quickly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you guys both first-year students?
Yeah.
Okay. So how tell us the story. Okay.
I saw him, and I was with a friend that I have an ASL class, so I was signing with her. And I see him sitting there, and I was like, that guy's really cute. So I'm going to go sit in front of him. Yeah. Yeah, he's really cute.
I was just chilling in the lounge, the little lounge, like, sofas in the library. And I was on my computer. I was, like, in my corner of my eye, I saw, like, Fernando with this girl. And I was like, oh, he's pretty cute. And and then I was trying not to pay attention because, like, I was afraid, like, maybe if he's straight, he's going to be like. Oh.
I thought he was straight. I'm like. In my case, where I think a guy's cute, he's probably straight. He ends up turning straight. And for once, he wasn't straight. Yeah. And so I sat in front of him, and I was studying my sign language. And when he got up, I told him, nice jacket. And at the time, I had the same glasses as he did. So we started talking about that. And then I have a habit of signing as I'm speaking because I was practicing sign. I was studying for that. And so he's like, signing. I was like, yeah, I'm an ASL major. He's like, I've always wanted to learn. Yeah, so I gave him my phone. To take down my Instagram so that we can meet up later on next week and I can start teaching him. And then once I got on his Instagram, I was like, oh, he's gay. I didn't know that. And yeah. So we hung out that Monday, and then that Friday we went on a date.
Like, at first he was, like, acting like he was, like, actually tutoring me, like, sign. And I was like, why are you doing this? I know where your intentions are, but, like, I try to, like, keep it low with him too at first. And then we started, like, messaging each other. We started talking more. And then we, like,
started hanging out more and more.
Yeah.
So we'd been hanging out for almost a whole month before I had asked him out, like, officially.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's really cute.
I considered myself in a relationship already. Like I told him, he said he was going to ask me out. Like, he was going
to. But you already knew.
Yeah, he wanted to make it official. Yeah,
we were pretty much dating, but we weren't officially dating.
And I was like, you already know what's my answer.
It's like when someone's like, oh, yeah, we're talking. And then, like, oh, we're dating. It's like, isn't that the same thing? I don't know.
Didn't know when I was going to do it. And I completely surprised him. I told him I was going to do it towards the end of the month or in the middle of the month. And I ended up doing it the 2nd of April.
He did it with noodles.
Oh, wow. With noodles?
Yeah. Okay, the thing is that we went to the movies up at City Walk first. And then we went to go get pho. or pho, however you want to say it, all the way in Little Tokyo where I used to go in high school. And so I always asked for extra noodles. And with chopsticks, I put boyfriend, or I drew a BF with noodles, with extra noodles that were left on my plate.
I thought he was playing with his food. I was like,
I know.
Playing with your
food. My hand was shaking so bad because I was so nervous to ask him out. And then I turned it on, and then that's when I asked him.
You should have just taken the Campbell's alphabet soup. Okay, so I wanted to ask what your definitions of masculinity are. How would you define masculinity?
Ooh, that's a good one. I honestly don't really know, because I haven't had a lot of... I actually don't have any gay friends. So the only masculinity I get is from all the straight guys and all the jocks that I used to hang out with, and that's pretty much
so. What is it? What comes in your mind when you hear the word
working out, full beard, big muscles, deep voice, play sports, stuff like that?
What about you, Willie?
That's a hard, for me, that's a hard, also, like, masculinity. I think it's like a concept, like, society created in order to, like, define a man and a woman. So for me, it's like hard to find that. Because I don't really know what... Because I see a guy and it's like, okay, he's a man. But I don't think he's masculine or like...
So do you think it's mannerisms that social constructs have created?
Yeah, I think it's like social constructs. Like,
it's a social term that has become so known.
Do you think that over time it's either changed or lost its meaning, considering that now we're in this culture where everyone's just trying stuff? Like back then, people were too afraid to like... dye their hair, do anything, but then it became like this punk rock movement. So then like everyone just started like taking these concepts that were perceived as like either feminine or gay and like
I think there is like different like concepts of masculinity in different like places in different countries, because like in Mexico it's way different from here, like
with machismo,
like,
right?
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is like catcalling is like a big thing over there. Also, like if you don't eat spicy food, and it's like crazy, like if you don't eat spicy food, that means like you're not man enough, like
you're not Mexican enough.
Yeah,
so that even goes into culture, right? With hyper masculinity, do you think that with machismo, like people can be misogynistic towards women, like especially with the catcalling?
Yeah,
I hate catcalling, so dumb.
How do you guys react when you see that, like on the street? Do you ever
if I see a guy creeping up on a girl, I'm gonna go with the girl and just walk with her.
It's funny because I remember when I was little, like growing up, it was more common for me, like hearing a car honk at a woman before. And like now I don't hear it as often if you see like a woman like crossing the street or walking. But it's, I feel like it still is, like it still exists, like it completely exists. Like, and I remember when I was also little, like my uncles, they were like single and they would always like catcall women in the cars and like honk their horn, and I would just be sitting in the back of the seat like, why are they doing this?
My brother does that. He goes and catcalls and he's married with a kid. I'm like, wow. I know. I just look at him like,
it's so hard when like you want to say something but there's just too many people, you know, like how do you win with that? Like when I'm on the bus, like if I can say something, like if it's, if they're physically bothering like a girl, I'll say something. But usually like when I see a guy like give all those kind of looks, I just stare directly at them until they notice and they look at me and they're like, oh, someone shoot, like someone saw me doing that. And it's like, yes, like you don't even realize it, but you're kind of being offensive in that, in that sense. And I wanted to talk about, because you're an ASL interpreter, is there a thriving LGBT community in the deaf community as well?
Not that I'm totally aware of. I've only been doing this almost 2 years, so I'm still really new to it. And I've only been at Pierce since August. So me being in the culture since August is like, I still have more time to learn. But I know one girl that's a close friend of mine, and she's deaf, but she's lesbian. But also then again, you know, it is a feeling that comes from within. But I don't, sometimes being deaf is not really their choice. Some are born, some will get sick, or something happens, and but it's not their choice to become deaf. But I know that if they wanted to be, if there was a choice for them to become hearing, they would not do it. Because that is who they are.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier that sometimes masculinity can be perceived based on somebody's voice. In the deaf community, do you think that they have different definitions of masculinity, or maybe they don't even care?
Well, for sign language in general, there's no masculinity in the language. Because, you know, for Spanish...
Yeah, there's no gender forms.
Yeah, you know, in Spanish, there's gender forms. There's the A and the O's that you say for different words. Yeah. But for sign language, there's none of that. It's only dominance. And the thing for dominance is which hand you sign with. Because you have your non-dominant and you have your dominant hand. So the non-dominant is like a platform for every sign that you do. And your dominant is the movement of the hand.
So do you think that in the deaf community, they don't even care about masculinity?
I don't think they do.
Because like, okay, I don't know. Have you guys ever been on any dating apps?
I have. Really? You have? Yeah. I have not.
Okay, so Willie, I wanted to ask you about that. Right. How do you feel about kind of seeing it on the community when people are like mask only, you know, like discriminating against people that they perceive as feminine?
Well, I didn't use the app for much because I noticed that many people were just there for like sex and like they were not really there to like become friends or like get into a relationship. And most of the time, all they did, I noticed a lot of the people, they were like mask looking for mask. And then, or are you top or bottom? Those are like questions I would often receive. I wouldn't even receive like hi or hello before getting a message. I would be like top or bottom. And I was like, what? I was like, okay.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about like when people discriminate against others just because of that? Do you think it's like a preference or?
I feel like it is a preference, but I think it's also because I feel like they're like sexually attracted to like characteristics of like what a man is in society. So like if they get with a person who's feminine, they're like, oh, this is like basically a woman. Why would I want to like have sex with this person or be in a relationship with this person?
Do you feel like it would help our community progress if that wasn't
so I feel like people need to like get to know them more, like because I like all types of like people. I like meeting them. Like I think like some feminine like guys are like really funny and they have like a really good personality to them, and like also masculine guys are cool too. So it's like it doesn't really matter what you are, mask or femme.
What about you? How do you feel about that?
I just think that people need to stop looking at that and just have an open mind for everything, not such a close, small-minded for... It's tunnel vision. As my mom says, you cannot have tunnel vision as you're driving. It's kind of the same thing. You can't have one set mind to the community or the culture of it. You know, you have to have a complete open mind for everything that you go through every day. Like, I know that I met some guy here, and he didn't know I was gay because of... He just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to him for a couple of days. I was texting him back and forth because we had just moved to the valley in the same area. And then once he found out, he's like, oh, we just don't have anything in common. You know, all I talk about with my friends are sports and you're gay and you just don't do that. So he stopped talking to me because of he found out I was gay. And then a couple months later, apologized for his mistake. I was like, okay.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say like, oh, damn it. Okay, so there's like many, I was thinking of it, but then I lost my train of thought. There's like a lot of like what is it called when it's like separation between the LGBT community, because there's people that are not fully like embracing members from the LGBT community.
Isolation?
Yeah, like you isolate yourself, so it's like how are you gonna
segregation?
Yeah, you segregate each other, so how are you gonna come together in like society and like show that other people how you can
to accept you?
Yeah, accept you if you can't even bring together like the love in the LGBT community. Like you guys need to get together.
What does RuPaul always say?
For real, how the hell you can't love yourself, you can't love somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for my last question, is it masculine to cry?
No. Totally. I mean, it doesn't it's an emotion.
What about you, Willie? Yeah,
I think so too. Like, because if I think every human being needs to express their emotions.
And if you keep it balled up, it's not healthy at all. You have to let your feelings out eventually.
Yeah, that's why it affects like a lot of men, because they're like they get a lot of depression because they're not able to like express themselves. So that's difficult for many men, because isn't it toxic masculinity?
Yeah. Well, hyper masculinity to it, like push those emotions on. Well, I'd like to thank you guys for being on my show today.
It was an honor. It was fun. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for this special little couples event. Yeah.
We should do this again.
Yeah, yeah, we will. We will. And I'll be your first gay friend.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't have any of those.
That wraps it up for today. This is Kevin with KPCRadio.com.